Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello, this is Donna Sebo. Welcome to an hour of Mind Power. We're trying to reach our guest, Mark Allen, this morning. And as we always do when we're in that process, well, we are going to keep on keeping on. I'm delighted that you are joining me today. I wanted to start off with a thought. It says, without continual growth and progress, such words as improvement, achievement, and success have no meaning. Benjamin Franklin was the man that made that statement. And I have to share with you that when I was preparing for the show this morning, I was deeply involved and totally engrossed with the reviewing of material that has come across my desk. And one of the things that I have found so fascinating, with all of the challenges that are going on in our great nation, there are so many different forms of thought, so many different aspects that we are looking at. And when you have the opportunity, as I do, to deal with people from different cultures, different environments, you find out about the history, maybe of their countries, what they've gone through, it really is quite an eye-opener. And through my life experience, I've had the good fortune of dealing with many people who have been refugees, many people who have had to fight their way through various environments. And I look at that and I think that is what we are having to do right now. And we can't afford to sleep. We can't afford to just assume that things are going to be taken care of. It is so important for us to be able to realize that it's necessary to find out what the facts really are, to find out what's really going on. And this is in so much of life. I don't know about you, but when I was growing up, there was so much that was told to me about what I was to do. I wasn't to question things. Everybody knew more than I did. I was to just go along with whatever any individual who was older than me was supposed to require, to think, to question, to be aware was not something that was really encouraged in my home. After all, I was a female. Now, that didn't mean that I didn't get educated, that I didn't go to school, all of these things, but the process of learning how to think, to really ask questions and to not assume, is something that we have to learn. And often, life throws mud on our parade, and in that process, we have to learn how to be able to see through the mud.
Mark's with us.
And it's a fascinating experience. And my guest, Mark Allen, is with us right now. And we're going to be talking about some of the processes that perhaps can wash the mud out of your space, out of your thinking. Mark Allen has put a book together called The Magical Path. It's creating the life of your dreams and a world that works for all. Mark Allen, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Donna. Thanks for having me.
Well, it is a delight. I realize that we were called because we had a cancellation of a guest that was going to be on today because of certain circumstances, and you were gracious enough to say, yes, Donna, I'd be glad to talk to you today, and I'm so glad. I was just chatting about how many times life puts mud in our space. You are a man. You've written a lot of books. You're known as a very successful writer. You have become one of the most successful independent publishers in the United States, which is quite a statement. Not many people can say that. The publishing industry has really gone into so many new modalities that it's difficult, both for authors as well as for people in the business, to know how to adapt and change. Mark, for you, you've decided to walk a different path. Why?
Well, I think out of desperation. I was quietly desperate through my 20s, had lots of anxieties, and was a total poverty case. I had the key all along. I knew it was important to do what I loved, and I did that through my 20s, but I did not know how to make any money doing what I loved. And it forced me. When you said, you know, life throws mud in your way, it's true. When I look back on it, it was the toughest times where I learned the most. Mm-hmm. The toughest times were really the best when I look back on it. I hit a point in my early 30s where I was $65,000 in credit card debt, and this was the early 80s, so it was way over $100,000 now. And my company that I'd founded with very little capital or anything was really struggling. Our distributor collapsed and didn't pay us for 6 months' worth of sales. And
oh,
we were
goodness.
On the verge of bankruptcy. And that's when I had my real best breakthrough. That's when I did a few things that are in the book, The Magical Path. I did something we call the core belief process and really got down to my deep belief about money and life was that life is a struggle and I was a fool with money and it was hard to succeed and I was out of control. Once I realized those were my deep underlying beliefs, certainly reflected in my experience, I had no money. I barely had a job. I was just struggling to keep my company afloat. Once I realized that, I turned it all around. I came up with a great affirmation that completely counteracted and contradicted it. I started saying to myself, I am sensible and in control of my finances. I am creating total financial success in an easy and relaxed manner, in a healthy and positive way. I said that a few thousand times, I bet, over the next few months, and things started turning around. Suddenly, the next obvious steps became obvious. Find a distributor that pays you on time. You know, get a hold of your expenses. Get to a place as quickly as possible where your income exceeded your expenses. This was kind of a new concept for me in my early 30s.
My goodness. You know, Mark, when I was going through your book, there is so much good common sense in it, and I can recall people saying, well, it's just rather simplistic, and I really liked your approach of a couple of points, and it's really mentioned right at the very beginning of your book, and that is repetition, affirmation, are one of the most powerful tools that you can use. And the affirmation that you shared with us is very, very good. But you say you need to memorize it. You need to repeat it. And the reason is that if you have been hardwired in a certain way, if you have been hardwired with deep fears, which I don't know of any human being walking on this planet hasn't been at some time or another, to be able to release that is just incredible. I was talking with an associate who is at the bottom of the barrel just yesterday. And this associate just said, wow, this is where I am. And I said, well, you know what? I think you had to get there so that you finally made some decisions that you had to make. And how often we set ourselves up. I can look at my own life in my mental mirror and say, you did a pretty good job of screwing things up at certain times. Congratulations. Now, where are you going to go from here? And I think when so many times I've done it, I'm sure you did it, we beat ourselves up because maybe we've made a bad decision. Or like you, we have put money into something and all of a sudden it's just disaster time. And we get caught up in the blame game. I really think your words, and I'm quoting from your book exactly, dare to dream of the life you want to live ideally. Now, that is important, Mark. How were you able to really dare to dream? Because so many times we have dreams, we think we want certain things, but but we really haven't gotten in touch with ourselves. How can people do that? Because what Jane wants down the street isn't what necessarily I want or what you want. How can we have that integrity with ourselves?
Exactly. And when you're younger, what your parents want for you and your teachers is not necessarily what you want either. I know I really had to grapple with that. You know, my parents wanted me to go into business and study business. I had no interest in business at all. I often say there's just two essential things. And the older I get, the simpler I see it and the simpler words I find to express it. It's not simplistic necessarily. I think what we're dealing with is our recurring thoughts and our connection with our subconscious mind, and that we keep programming our subconscious mind with every thought and every word we say. And the simpler the words, the better when we get into positive programming of our subconscious mind. Affirmations program our subconscious mind. The simpler wording, the better. And as I get older, I see it simpler and simpler, and my books get simpler, literally in simpler language. And I've just really come to believe, not because I ever had to make any leap of faith or come to believe anything, just because I tried things and found they worked in my life. So I've come to believe there are really just two essential things to deal with. It's that simple. The first thing we need is we need to dare to dream. We need to dare to make a great, expansive goal and go for it. The other thing we need to do then is deal with all those doubts and fears that inevitably arise as soon as we dare dream.
Mm-hmm.
I was tricked into it. I did a little back-to-the-land experiment in my early 20s, and one night we were sitting around a fire, and this one couple just said, let's play a game we play at church camp. Let's imagine 5 years have passed, and everything has gone as well as you could imagine. What would your life look like? They called it the ideal scene process, and we all went around the fire. I don't remember a word of what I said, and so it had no impact on my life. But the day I turned 30, I remember vividly, I woke up in a state of shock. I was broke. I had no job, no money, no family support. I was scrounging for rent in a little one-room slum apartment in Oakland, California. And that was kind of cool through my 20s to be a poverty case. But the day I turned 30, suddenly, it wasn't cool anymore. And I paced up and down, and then I remembered that little game, but this time I wrote it down. And it's something I think is one of the most critical things I recommend it to everyone. I took a sheet of paper and put ideal scene at the top and dared dream 5 years had passed. So I was 35, and I was living my ideal. What would my life look like? That tricked me into discovering my purpose in life, discovering my passion, what I really wanted to do, and even eventually how to make money doing what I loved.
I think that simple little exercise tricked me. And I think that's a great exercise. And whether you have a group around you that pretends they're watching a fire, I think sometimes in our world today, we are slammed, and I use that word purposefully, we are slammed with so much stuff that to really find out what we really want, we go, I honestly don't know. Gee, maybe it's a new Barbie doll if you're 7 years old, or maybe it could be 5 years old. And or maybe, gee, I want to own a diamond mine, or I want to do something. But the reality of true integrity with the self is a big challenge because we have been infused with whatever we should have, or this is what is best stuff. And again, it's a challenge. I don't care what culture you're in.
Mm-hmm.
Now, interestingly, your parents wanted you to go into business, and you are in business, and you're doing very, very well.
I ended up in business. At the time, in my teen years, all I wanted to do was play music and do theater.
Mm-hmm.
And I became a theater major in college, and my oldest brother went into business, and I noticed, and he was substantially older, so I saw him quite a bit. He was 9 years older, and I noticed he wasn't passionate about business. He's passionate about golf and fishing. And I thought, no, I want to do what I'm passionate about. I knew that as a child. I want to wake up every day and do what I love. I don't want to go to work for some corporation that doesn't thrill me. So I was an actor and a musician and a spiritual seeker through my 20s and a total poverty case. And then, yeah, sure enough, the day I turned 30, I realized, gee, I want to have a publishing company. I knew nothing about business. I didn't even understand money or how banks worked or anything. Mm-hmm. I've been an actor and a musician. What did I know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
nothing.
Right.
But I learned, once I dared dream, I learned the next steps to take always became obvious and simple.
Mm-hmm.
Little small steps.
Yep. Now, I wanted to share a quote, and it comes from James Allen, his book, As You Think. He said, "Mind is the master power that molds and makes, and we are mind, and evermore we take. The tool of thought and shaping what we will bring forth 1,000 joys, 1,000 ills. We think in secret, and it comes to pass. Our world is but our looking glass." And this is so significant. I know of people that will sit 10, 15 hours a day in front of a television watching programming that is done with a purpose of what I feel is manipulation. I don't mind being informed, but I want to be able to think for myself, and I want to be able to assess information for myself. And I find it fascinating. This person gets so agitated. They have health problems. They are in stress. And yet they're forgetting the very thing that they dream about, the very thing that they want to be successful. They are living in exactly the opposite space that they say they want. So many people are doing that, Mark. What does it take to wake somebody up?
Well, sometimes it does take a really bad situation, hitting a bottom in some way. Not for everyone, but for a lot of people. As I look back, the worst times really were the best in forcing me to do the inner work necessary to get on the right track, to get focused again. I know Oprah had a wonderful thing to say about that. She said, if you don't know what your passion is, the best thing you can do is do whatever you need to do to find out.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, that is so true. I'm always surprised when I meet people say, I don't really know what I'm passionate about. I don't know what my purpose is. I've always known what I'm passionate about. That was always obvious to me. Purpose was, of course, much more elusive and much greater. I think we are all here for a great purpose. And it involves loving and serving ourselves and others.
Absolutely.
But our
and
passion,
that doesn't mean, right. And that doesn't mean you're a doormat. I wanted to inject that. That's very important. You don't need to be a doormat to be of service to life.
Right. Right. Exactly. No more doormats. No more being a victim at all. We're all powerful, creative people. Once we realize it, we have everything we need within us. That I know. Every one of us has an amazing body, a phenomenal mind that we just use a tiny bit of, and some kind of very mysterious but very obvious and powerful connection to something vast. You can call it subconscious mind. You can call it the universe. You can call it God.
Mm-hmm.
You can call it the quantum field if you're scientific. You know, my book's called The Magical Path. I say you don't even have to use the word magic. You can call it the direct path. You can call it the scientific path if you want. You call it what you will, but there are simple things we can do to really create the life of our dreams.
I think so. Now, one of the tools that you used, and I had to chuckle because this is a reminder. I'm sure most people that are listening to the show have heard about treasure mapping. And there is a delightful lady that I know down in Oregon that I had an opportunity to do an event with. And she said, come on, let's do some treasure mapping. And she had a bunch of magazines, and so she had some construction board. She said, it's time for me to do it. Would you like to do the same thing? I said, sure. I'd be glad to do that. And so we're sitting there like a bunch of four-year-olds cutting out pictures out of magazines, you know, just flipping through pages and cutting out pictures. What is it we really want? Now, I found very interesting. I didn't find a lot in the magazine she had, but I said, this has started something. And so I finished my vision board, if you will, looking at it, and I thought, just the other day, already little things had, and this was about 4 or 5 months ago, little things have started to evolve, and I'm going to be sending her an email and say thank you very much for doing this with me, because this is, you know, this is such a wonderful tool. How did you use treasure mapping?
That was very funny, actually, the way I used it. I mean, a vision board, what you're saying, it really is a visual ideal scene. I wrote my ideal scene out in words. I'm more literal and verbal. Visual people, the best thing you can do is a vision board or a treasure map or something. I don't even remember making one, but I do remember being tricked into leading a four-day workshop with my friend Shakti Gawain. We were just supposed to assist this guy. We'd never done a workshop or written a book. We were in our late 20s, and we were supposed to assist this guy who was doing a workshop. He had 25 people show up for a four-day workshop. And 10 minutes before, he said, I can't handle this, and he disappeared. So Shakti and I taught our first workshop. So we had 4 days. So we threw in everything we'd ever learned through our 20s. And we did treasure mapping with people. I'd never even done it before that I remember. Or maybe I had with a Ken Kai's workshop I took years before. I'm not even sure. It didn't have much impact in my life. But we got everybody to do one. And I've been amazed over the years. That was, 30-some years ago now. Over those years, I've had dozens of people come up to me. After that, then Shakti and I, we continued to do workshops with treasure mapping for a while. I've had dozens of people come up to me, and they say the same thing. They say, I took your workshop back in the 70s, and I did a treasure map, and I put it away and forgot about it. And then 5 or 10 years later, they're moving or something. They find it and realize most of it's come to be. I've heard that story dozens of times. It's very powerful to do a vision board. Your subconscious really responds to visual things.
That's very true. And it really does make a difference. You have a couple of processes, and that's one of the things about your book, The Magical Path. It's all about using tools. And when I say using tools, it's something, a pad of paper and a pen. Those two wonderful instruments. And quiet time. Personally, I think the library is one of the best places. Get in a conference room where you can be left alone. Yes. Some people I know, they're not able to do that, so I said, go to the bathroom, lock the door. But, you know, you've got to find a place where you're not going to be interrupted by anybody and where you're going to have the time just for yourself. It's so easy to get caught up with other people. Oh, gee whiz, my husband needs this, my kids need this, my uncle needs this. Oh, we've got all of these different things going on. No, you've got to have the time for yourself. So a pad of paper and a pen are portable. They go anywhere. If you want to use a computer, that's great. Set up a file. Put up your dream file. Make it your dream file. Label it out.
Yes.
But people I know are going to say, well, I wanted to be a millionaire by the time I was 30. Okay, that's fine. But down deep, they really didn't want it. You've got some exercise in here. You've got one called Creating the Magic Circle. How did the magic circle evolve? What is it, and how can people employ it?
That's from very traditional Western magic. You can literally draw a circle on the floor, or you can just define one in your mind around you, either in the center of the floor or even if you're sitting in a chair, you just can define a circle. Just like literally you can draw it in chalk. That's a good thing to do. Just draw it in chalk on the floor, and then you get in the center of that circle. And then you just imagine the words, as above, so below. The microcosm is the macrocosm. And so in that circle, you are the entire universe. And you have the omnipotence of the entire universe. and you are able to create in your universe, just in your mind, purely in your imagination, exactly what you want in life. And you create it vividly in your imagination. And that actually, with or without the circles, so much of the work on the magical path is just getting clear in your imagination what you want, and then focusing on that. What we focus on becomes our reality. Buddha said this. James Allen said it in As You Think. Our thoughts of yesterday have created our lives of today. Our thoughts of today will create our lives of tomorrow. What we focus on will become true in our reality. I have no doubt, and again, I never came to believe this, I just did this stuff, that visualization works, prayer works, positive thinking works, declarations work, it all works, because the universe says yes to every thought in some mysterious way. The only problem is that negative thinking works as well to completely undo it. So the process is, when we dare dream and say, I am going to create the life of my dreams, the universe says yes and starts showing us how, showing us the next simple step to take. But if our next thought is, oh, but it's so hard to succeed, so few people succeed doing what they love, the universe says, yes, it's hard for you with that thought, yes. And that's the entire process. When I just came on, I noticed you were talking about thoughts, and that's it. It's dealing with our stream of thoughts. Fortunately, we can be out off course the vast majority of the time. I remember hearing that a plane flying is off course over 95% of the time, but the pilot just keeps correcting over and over and over and reaches its destination. When I first heard that, I thought, that's the story of my life. You can be off course, meaning you can have your doubts and fears and worries and anxieties and distractions the vast majority of the time. But if you just keep remembering to come back to that thought, wait, I'm focusing on this. I am going to make it work doing what I love. I'm going to create the life of my dreams, and I'm taking the next step. Guide me. Show me what the next step is. You ask yourself that. You ask that inner voice that has all the knowledge of the universe. You ask for your own guidance. I think that's where my life totally changed, when I started asking for my own guidance. To realize my dreams, rather than searching out there for the teacher or mentor, or I stopped that in my early 30s, and I started asking myself, and I got guidance. It became very simple to create a very successful business, to write and publish beautiful books, to create the music I've created and the life I've created. It became very simple. As soon as I turned within and worked internally, Eckhart Tolle sums it up so beautifully in The Power of Now. He says, get the inside right and the outside will fall into place.
And I think that that is so important. I think that that is so important. And that wisdom is meant to be enjoyed by all. And I want to quote from your book. You say, you have to take a good look at your beliefs about time. And I found myself making comments. Again, I use me as an example, because life is my experience just like anybody else's, and I feel being a talk show host, it's good to have integrity about what we have, what we go through and how we learn. And I can remember just, it was just this last year. I'm very busy. I'm just having a hard time getting things done over and over again. Finally, I just said, now, wait a minute. I've got to shift this. I've got time to get everything done. But it's amazing how you go in and out of it, just like what you say. And it's important to take back dominion. I don't think we realize how easy it is to be influenced by various personalities that are around us, the media, so many different aspects of communication, for us to take dominion over our own mind, over our own responses, and say, wait a minute, I'm going to have the time to do everything I need to do. I'm going to have the money, and or just accept it as being right now. You don't even worry about how it's going to come about. And throughout my life, that has been a fascinating phenomenon that I have observed. And I go, why do I keep getting sometimes into these square boxes of experience? And I know many of my listeners can relate to that. And it's because of not paying attention to really what is most desired and most wanted. And you bring that out so well. You have a quote in here, affirm your goals as being realized in an easy and relaxed manner in a healthy and positive way in their own perfect time for the highest good of all. These words are true magic. They can help you master time and money. Valuable, yes. Valuable points of information, Mark. I know we're just about out of time. Your book, The Magical Path, Creating the Life of Your Dreams in a World That Works for All, I would suggest for those of you that are listening, if you're going through challenging times, like my friend that I spoke with yesterday, if you're looking at situations that you seemingly have no control over, Mark's book can really help you go through it. You can go through different sections. You pick out what resonates with you. Mark, what's your website that people can go to find out more about your work?
They can go to markallen.com, markallen.com, and I do have some nice free video and some good written words there, and I have sort of a summary of the magical path on a 45-minute audio called The Spiritual Path to Success. There's all kinds of things on my website, markallen.com.
Well, this has been delightful, and I think that this book is a significant contribution so that people can be aware they can be the boss of their own space. They don't have to worry about anybody else taking it over. They can be the boss of their own space. And I think that is significant, because as soon as we give our minds over to others, as soon as we stop being open to thinking and having integrity with ourselves, boy, we usually get a good swift kick in the seat of the pants.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Do you have a closing thought you'd like to share, Mark, with my audience before we say goodbye?
I find definitely part of my purpose on Earth is to encourage everyone to go for dreams. It's never too late at all. And even if you don't think you have much time, if you have a full-time job and a mortgage and a family and responsibilities, but still there's this dream, you can find time, even if it's an hour or two a week at first. Find the time to just go for it. You'll never regret it. And as soon as you go for it, doubts and fears will come up. Yes, yes. And dealing with those is the greatest challenge and the most rewarding thing on Earth. So I just encourage everyone, go for your dreams. Deal with the doubts and fears. You'll never regret it.
Yes. And so many wonderful affirmations, quotes, different things that you'll find that are there to support you. That's what Mark Allen has done in this wonderful book, The Magical Path. You can create the life of your dreams and also help to create a world that works for all, despite what may be showing its face. To say, no, you can't. You can. Mark Allen, thank you so much for being my guest. This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break. Check out The Magical Path. Go to the website, markallen.com. We'll be right back.
Do you have children between the ages of 3 to 10? Do you love children's books and collect them? Then you'll want to know about God's Kiss, the award-winning illustrated children's book that has been enjoyed by families around the world. 15 beautiful illustrations by Pacific Northwest artist Ed Gedrose accompany this lovely story about a little boy named Johnny that will capture your heart and mind in a very special way. Multicultural and non-denominational in content, it will become a family favorite that you and your children will want to read again and again. This book is available by itself through Amazon, or if you contact me, Donna Sebo, directly, you can get a personalized signed copy. There is also a talking book. You can order the talking book CD by contacting me via email, donna@delphiinternational.com, or by calling 253-582-5500. 5604. You can also visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, to see more details. God's Kiss is a family classic that belongs in everyone's library. Get your copy now.
Taking too many oral pain pills and concerned about the side effects? Are you having trouble getting to sleep at night because of the pain? Well, I'm Lou Paradise. I had the same problems you have, cured my pain, eliminated pain pills and their side effects by developing Toprasin, pain relief and healing cream. Toprasin relieves pain without the side effects. It doesn't burn, it doesn't smell, and it doesn't stain. But don't take my word for it. Doctors, pharmacists, and pain specialists are using and recommending Toprasin and ending the suffering for thousands of people just like you. We know you hurt. We want to help. We are so sure that Toprasin will work for you, we offer a money-back guarantee. So if you want the pain relief without the side effects, ask for Toprasin. Toprasin is available at Duane Reade, Quick Check Pharmacies, and Wegmans. Ask for Toprasin or call 1-800-959-1007 for a store near you. That's 1-800-959-1007. Toprasin, the last pain medicine you'll ever need, and you can sleep on that.
Hi, this is Donna. Welcome back. Hey, telephone lines are now open. If you'd like to call in and chat with me, feel free to do so at 888-627-6008. If you have a comment about the guest, if you want to have a reading with me, it's my delight to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. So give me a buzz at 888-627-6008. I wanted to mention, because we are getting very close to the timeline, there are two events that I'm going to be doing this weekend and next weekend. The first one is this Saturday, tomorrow. I'm going to be presenting a very spontaneous two-hour class, and this is Exploring Quantum Mind, and I know we've got a caller, and I'll give you the other information about the other class on November 3rd, which is a full-day seminar, which is going to be incredibly dynamic. But tomorrow, I am going to be at the East West Bookstore in Seattle from 11 until 1. There's a small fee of $25 a person. We're going to interact. We're going to do readings. We're going to do all kinds of things. And I invite you to join me. So if you have 2 hours, that if you're in the Seattle area, you'd like to come and be a part of this fun, interactive class, I invite you. And then after in just a few minutes, I'll give you information on the other event that's coming up on November 3rd. Let's go to our first caller. Welcome to the show. First name or initial, and where are you calling in from?
Sure, this is Lisa, and I'm calling from California.
Where in California, Lisa?
Oh, in Bakersfield.
Oh, my goodness. You're in the far north there. Okay, first thing that I'm looking at, Lisa, is a demand on your time. I am seeing you feeling like you are on a hamster's wheel. Your little legs, so to speak, are just going a mile a minute. And every time you try to get off of the hamster's wheel of activity, you feel like something forces you back into positioning. Well, I want you to know that you really need to take care of yourself, and you need some quiet time. You need to be absolutely, totally selfish about this. And I wouldn't care if somebody says, they're going to drop a bomb, whatever. I mean, and I'm exaggerating there, but you just need to say, sorry, this is my time. I'm doing it. You're just going to have to deal with it, period. But you need the quiet time. And the reason you need the quiet time is that it enables you to deal better with your time management. Now, that's going to sound a little odd. Time management. That is absolutely mandatory for you to come to understand, because you have scattered yourself into so many different directions. And this is a habit you learned from some women that you observe. This is what you're supposed to do. This is what, well, if you're not doing all this stuff, you're just not together. I beg your pardon. You're a very efficient person. You have a capacity for skilled organization. You are an individual. If crisis situations come up, you can keep a clear head when it comes to other people. And you're just very disciplined in so many ways. And I want you to use that discipline for yourself. I want you to make sure that you have quiet time for yourself. I don't care if it's 15 minutes, a full day, however you work it out, but I want you to be consistent with it, because you've got some major changes coming up by September the 7th of 2013. You will be able to go through those changes, because there's they are changes you really want, you're going to be able to go through those changes easily. But if you don't prepare yourself, you're going to feel swamped. And I don't want you to feel that way. I want you to realize that this is a cycle that you've worked very hard to get to. That's the best way I know how to say it. This cycle of understanding where you are, where you want to be, what you want to do, and how you want to do it. And I really think you're going to find that by 2014, you're going to be pretty much doing what you want to do. And it's going to be on your own terms. But it will not come easily without the discipline of quiet time. I really sincerely mean that. What question do you have for me?
So interesting, because I feel like I've just been sitting around a lot because I don't have a job right now. And I just, maybe you mean like when I meditate, because when I meditate, I actually get up and I walk around.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I don't feel like I'm doing enough.
The thing is, you see, there's a contradiction here. You see, I'm just sitting around. On the other hand, you say, I don't feel like I'm doing enough. So your brain is on this hamster wheel.
Yeah.
It's not just physical activity. You're on this hamster wheel. If in your meditation, you're up and moving around. Now, there you can do a walking meditation. That's fine. There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
But what you're expressing to me is that you feel you've got to have this going in multiple directions. That's what you're supposed to do. And that's
or
not
doing something towards working.
Well, and if you want to work, then you have to have integrity with this. I would suggest you follow the suggestions of my guest today, Mark Allen. Sit down and really ask yourself, what do you honestly enjoy? Because so many of us don't do that. What are you super good at? What is it when you do it, people say, oh, you just have this knack. I really admire this. Because you are a disciplined person. You don't see that, but you are. So this is time for you to invest in yourself. This is really time for you to have what I stated as integrity with itself. Getting out of the shoulda, woulda, coulda stuff. You want to work, all right, then work. What is it you want to do? Let me give you an example. Let's say you wanted to be a writer. Let's just toss that one out. My guest was an author, is an author, obviously. And let's say that's what you want to do. Then put yourself in an environment, seek work in an environment that's going to support that. Find out about the ins and outs. Maybe get a part-time job somewhere if you didn't want full-time. But you need to have that time where you honestly ask yourself, what do you love to do? I've known people that love baking with such a passion that they put themselves in the bakery environment, or they're working for a manufacturing company that does things on a big scale, and they love it. They absolutely love it. They love being involved with the flour and the sugars and the creams and the decoration and all that stuff. It would drive me nuts, but they love it. You know, it all depends on what means the most to you. Other people are into, let's say, motorcycles or mechanics, animals. It doesn't make any difference, but you must have that level of integrity with yourself.
Yeah. Well, I do know what I want to do. It just seems like it's been pretty slow in the making, 'cause I'm an actress.
What is it you want to do?
I'm an actress, and I make films.
All right. Wonderful. I mean, get involved in some way within the industry itself. Get involved in some way. I don't care if it's working for a tiny little video company or whatever. Get out and get involved. If you start off as a volunteer, get involved. If you love acting, maybe opera isn't your thing, but why not offer to be an usher at an opera company? The key is you put yourself in those spaces, and you put yourself there, hon. There's many, many different aspects to the world of entertainment, the world of theater, movies, but you must
well, do
seek
you
it
see
out.
Work coming to me soon in that area? Because that would be my specific question.
The answer is not immediately, but I'm seeing a small production company putting something together. You're not going to be paid for it, but it would allow you to keep the finger on that pulse of activity that is so close to your heart. So that looks like that could be evolving within the cycle of 3 to 4.
Okay.
And I want to thank you for your call, Lisa.
Yeah, thank you.
You have a wonderful, wonderful day and a fabulous weekend. This is Donna Sebo. We're going to take a break for a moment. When we come back, those phone lines will be open, 888-627-6008. And more good things to share. In fact, if I have time, I'm going to give you a recipe for pumpkin butter. Have you ever had it? Well, there is a lady that's got a fabulous recipe. And what a wonderful way to get your beta carotene. Of course, pumpkins are just abundant. This is fall. This is when it's time to be creative with that wonderful golden orange vegetable that brings so much health and happiness into one's life. Donna Sebo here. We'll be right back.
As a counselor, Donna Sebo is available for private consultations by appointment. These can be done by telephone or in person. If you'd like to schedule an appointment with Donna, call 253-582-5604 or 800-872-8852. That's 253-582-5604.
Have you ever had a friend tell you about a product they really believed in? Hi, this is Donna Sebo. Toprosin is a homeopathic cream that is just fabulous. I use it and my friends use it for relief of painful discomfort such as aching muscles and sore feet. Odorless, non-greasy, it is a product that belongs in everyone's medicine cabinet and first aid kit. Check out www.toprosin.com, that's T-O-P-R-I-C-I-N, and find out more information. You can order Toprosin online or call 800-959-1007, that's 800-959-1007. Be sure to give them the code DS30 and you'll receive a 30% discount. Toprosin, non-toxic, safe for children too. This is a product that really works. Try it. I think you'll like it.
Hi, this is Donna. Okay, I've got a quick spiced pumpkin butter recipe. And again, your spices, you can work with them as you like. But this is so easy. You know, in today's world, we have so many things that are already taken care of, put in cans. And, of course, canned pumpkin is something that just about every good cook in the U.S. uses for your pumpkin pies and things like that. Well, pumpkin puree is the key to that. A lot of us don't have the time to go and bake the pumpkin, make the puree. We just don't want to be bothered with that. We don't want to clean out the pumpkin seeds and all of it. So you just need a 29-ounce can of pure pumpkin puree. You're going to need 1.5 cups of apple juice, and that is a key ingredient for flavoring. You're going to need 1 cup of granulated sugar. Extra fine would work exceptionally well, but just regular granulated sugar. And you might want to try brown sugar because it has just a touch of the molasses flavor to it. And there's also a 3/4 cup of firmly packed dark brown sugar. So you could use all brown sugar if you wanted. If you like the raw sugar, you might want to try the raw sugar. But I don't think this is going to be especially tasty with something like stevia or anything like that. So the real sugars really do help. But the raw sugar, you might need to adjust this to your taste. And then you're going to need a tablespoon of your pumpkin pie spice. And this is how you do it. It's very simple. You need a heavy pot, like a cast iron heavy pot or the equivalent, and you want to put all of the ingredients, the 29-ounce can of pumpkin puree, the 1.5 cups of apple juice, the cup of granulated sugar, 3/4 cup of dark brown sugar, and a tablespoon of your pie spice, pumpkin pie spice, and you bring it to a boil. Of course, you're whisking this all together. You bring it to a boil over medium-high heat, and then you reduce your heat to very low and simmer it for an hour. And you need to stir it periodically to keep it from burning. So you can serve it warm or cold, and it keeps in your refrigerator for up to 2 weeks, and this makes about 4 cups of this delicious flavoring. It goes on toast. You can, you know, you can use it on so many things. On certain vegetables, it might be a wonderful flavor addition. But kids are going to like this. This is something that's very good. And like I said, it's a great way to get some beta carotene. So I just wanted to share that with you. And I think that the lady that put this together, she said our family just absolutely loves it. And her name is Celeste Gallucci. And this is her recipe for a family favorite. And again, the holidays are coming up. My goodness, we're going to blink, and here they are. And, of course, Halloween is creeping in slowly but surely. I wanted to share a story with you about some tiny coffins. And this takes place in July of 1836. There were five young boys who were hunting for rabbits at Arthur's Seat. Now, this is a hill that's noted as a specific landmark. It's near Edinburgh, Scotland. And one of the boys found that his dog was going into some places he didn't want to go into, and so he follows him. And he found that there was a hidden cave. Someone had stacked up thin slices of slate to hide the entrance to the cave. Well, because of the nosy dog, the kid removed that, and they found something very unusual in this cave. So they went back and told their families, but what he saw was 17 tiny coffins. Now, each of these little coffins was 4 inches long, and inside of each one of these coffins, there was a tiny wooden figurine. The figurine was carved very carefully. They had carved faces, the boots were painted, there was custom-made clothing. And he found that there were 2 tiers of 8 coffins each, and the third row started with only 1 coffin. Now, being in this cave, the elements of the cave were affecting those, and they had been deposited over a very, very long period of time. In fact, they were in a state of decomposition. 9 of the original 17 coffins had disintegrated, and what happened to the coffins next is as unknown as their origin. One very significant clue came up in 1901. In 1901, the Museum of Scotland were given these little artifacts, and they received a letter after accepting these old, old artifacts. They received a letter from a woman. To this day, they don't know who she was. She said she lived in Edinburgh at the time the coffins were discovered in 1836. She wrote about a man who was deaf, dumb, and daft, according to the people of the village. This deaf, dumb, and daft individual visited her father on a fairly regular basis. And, you know, he's just one of these strange people in her village. And she said, after the removal of the coffins, he had shown up very, very agitated at her father's office, clutching a drawing of 3 of the coffins on which were these dates, 1837, 1839, and 1840. Now, who the coffins belonged to originally, when they were buried, and what their purpose was, has never, ever been determined. Mysteries. Don't you just love them? They always make you aware that there's things in life that people do or patterns of habit that you may never have an answer to, regardless of how hard you try. So those little coffins are still at the Museum of Scotland. This is Donna Sebo. I know that we're running out of time here. I do want to let you know that next week we have a marvelous lineup of guests. We're going to be talking with Dr. Mark Manhart on Monday, Open Wide. We're going to be talking about some aspects of dentistry that are coming around to make a difference with people. Also, we're going to be talking with Tom Gagliano. He wrote a book called The Problem Is Me. Boy, it takes courage to admit that maybe you have not done something right. And then on Wednesday of next week, we're going to be talking about psychic intuition. Nancy Dutry is going to be my guest. And then, of course, we are going to be talking about Thanksgiving with a regular that I've had on my show for just about 11 years. That's Leo Pearlstein. And we are going to be talking recipes for Thanksgiving. He's just a delight. And then, knowing who I am, Nianel is going to be my guest. We're going to be playing some of her beautiful music. It is going to be absolutely a phenomenal experience. So we've got a great lineup of guests. The information about the upcoming guests will be up online at BBS and also on my website by the first of next month, so I invite you to check it out. Remember always that you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. It is so important that we never forget that we are the powerhouse in our lives. We have to take control and have dominion over our minds, our actions, our feelings, so that we can live the life we want. It's very important. You're very special. I'm so delighted you have been able to share this time with me and tell your friends about the show, the wonderful guests that we have, and I look forward to being with you again real soon. This is Donna Sebo. Bye for now. Have a wonderful weekend.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.